Back Tech, Bob Black, Joe Spanos, and Roberto West Coast by Brandi Chastain right now. And always a pleasure to talk to you, Brandi. Welcome halfway to the Olympics. It's got to be exciting for you and Liberty Mutual.
Absolutely. It's actually, I've been talking about this morning, about how fast the 2 years prior to the Olympics goes. You know, the making a team, qualifying, preparing, and then the Olympics are here. So it's a very exciting time.
Yeah. You know, talk about the work with Liberty Mutual, what they're doing to support things, and how it affects you, the team, and the direction of UA Sports.
Well, as maybe some of your viewers don't know, the USOC is not a government-sponsored entity, so the athletes that it supports is done through sponsorships and donations. And so to have a company like Liberty Mutual Insurance recognize the value of the Olympics, not just the really the medal winning, but it's really about the process for the athlete and how without that, the support that they're giving, it wouldn't be possible to even have a chance to win the medals. So beyond that, when we do win, they are insuring the medals from Sochi going forward. So I think as a previous Olympian who's won some medals, it would be nice to know that they would be protected afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great thing that Liberty Mutual is doing, not only protecting the medals, but they're working in helping Olympic athletes to be able to sustain and train. You know, as you said, the USOC is not a government-sponsored entity. So it's all done through donations, private funding, and great companies like Liberty Mutual and others. Let's get on the pitch a little bit. Let's talk about the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. We're halfway home. August 2016 will be in Rio. We're going to go in as the favorites. What's this team look like? Is it it's in transition right now? Where do you see it headed for 2016 as far as key players that we know from the past that may or may not be there and who may be transitioned in to replace them?
Well, these are all really good questions. And to be honest with you, the picture is not clear right now for 2016, and with next year being a World Cup year, I think things could change. You know, Abby Wambach, you know, who knows if she's got two more years in her. I know she's gearing up right now. I just talked to her yesterday, gearing up, you know, to qualify for the World Cup for Canada 2015. I know she's got her mindset on that. She's not looking beyond it. At this stage, so you know that would be a big transition for the U.S. team to be without her in the future. But there are a lot of young players that are coming up through the national team that have, you know, made some impact at the U-20 level, who have been playing their collegiate seasons right now across this country, that are actually making, I think, a statement for themselves. So, you know, obviously there's Alex Morgan. Everybody's looking to her to continue what she's been doing of late, which is scoring a lot of goals. Sydney LaRue. But I think really the main cog in the wheel for the U.S. Is Lauren Halliday. She's playing in the center of midfield, a player out of UCLA. She's just a dominant force. Like Abby Wambach, she's got a big, strong body. She can dominate the midfield area. And I think that she can really be a leader for this team going forward.
Well, you know, it's been an interesting time for U.S. women's soccer, the transition coaches, the transition, and I don't want to say from the old, but from the women that established the program really in many ways and now to the younger group. Do you see it happening smoothly thus far or relatively smoothly even with a coaching change?
Well, I think there's always a transition time. It doesn't matter what sport it is, you know, male, female. There's always that kind of honeymoon time where, you know, the players are excited and you know, they want to play for the new coach and they want to have good results and get off to a good start. And, you know, and then things settle in. And, you know, I think people start to either get comfortable or become uncomfortable due to change. So it's hard to tell to make that really – actually, it's hard to make that judgment right now whether or not things are – which direction they're going. But again, like I said before, and like you even said, you know, the pool of players in the U.S. is tremendous. We've got more girls playing soccer in this country than ever before. And that's a great luxury and more difficult to decide who the best are to make that roster.
Well, you know, you're talking about the pool of women soccer players growing here in the good old U.S. of A. It's growing around the world as well. And while we're still the lead dog, the gap is closing between us and some of our major competition. Address some of the other some of our main competition around the world and who you expect to be the major players. And I know it's very fluid as we're 2 years away, but who you expect to be the major players, not only in the World Cup next year, but, you know, in Rio, in good old U.S. of A.
Well, I think the usual suspects, you have to count on them. Germany, absolutely one of the dominant forces of women's soccer these days, and a team actually to really respect and emulate. There's a lot of things that they do that I think most countries would really love to be able to do. They're very organized. They're very cohesive. They don't make a lot of mistakes. Then there's Japan, who, you know, initially came on the scene as a team that had a lot of great technical skill, but really weren't athletically as powerful as the dominating teams. And now they've stepped that portion up, and now their technical ability is really shining through. So they are one to always watch. I think you have to look to the host of next year's World Cup, Canada. You know, they've kind of been quietly sneaking up. They've got a relatively new coach in John Herdman, and they've been making some changes. Their young players have been playing collegiate soccer here in the U.S. now, you know, some of them having had 4 years' experience, and now they're putting it to good use. You know, and of course, you have to look at Brazil. They are probably they're the team that you just never know what you're going to get. They're so capable of dismantling other teams, but then again, imploding at the same time. So, you know, the great thing about women's soccer at this time, like you said, is that the world is really watching women's soccer. They're focusing on women's soccer. More young girls are having the opportunity to participate. I think in the past, we here in the U.S. had the luxury of having a Title IX law that said that the girls, you know, need the opportunity where funding is given, like the boys, and that really helped our cause. Having the professional league here in the U.S. also is helping, and where our players get to continue to train on a regular basis. So, I think the world is, I don't know if it's catching up. I just think that now they're having an opportunity to have exposure, and that's great for women's soccer.
Real quick, Brandy, because we want to keep you on schedule. You mentioned the Women's Professional Soccer League, which was going to be the next place I was going to go. Growth with that league, very, very slow at this point, but there is some exposure. Can you, what do you do to get that league to grow and maybe match Major League Soccer in this country, the MLS?
Well, I think you have to look at this, just the history of sports in this country. The NBA, NFL, they didn't start, you know, with 75,000 seat stadiums. They didn't sell out arenas on a regular basis. So, you know, these things take time, and there's a process. And, you know, women's soccer is trying to, obviously we're trying to figure that out. But I think with how well Major League Soccer is doing, I honestly have always said and still believe that women's and men's soccer need to unite for the greater good of soccer. You know, the more people we can bring to the stadiums on a regular basis, the better. Both entities have a lot to give to the communities. So many young kids, boys and girls, that play the game that could benefit from watching both sides of the game. So, you know, I would really like to see a continued effort like they're doing in Portland and in Seattle and in Houston to combine Major League Soccer and women's professional soccer and join forces to, you know, bring soccer to a new height.
Well, Brandy, we appreciate the couple minutes. You know, it's always great to have you on board, and we love you. Talk something, you know, you're more than welcome. And just a couple to Rio, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, thanks again. And again, I want to thank Liberty Mutual Insurance for allowing me the chance to talk to you, but also for making a difference in the lives of Olympians. They literally are the foundation on which we stand and which we win medals, and without them, it wouldn't be possible.
Thanks for a couple minutes.
All right, you guys, take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Brandy Chastain.
Bob, look.
Can't have a better spokesman for women's soccer.
Absolutely not, Bob. And two of the best in the last week. Her and Mia Hamm.